everybody. Welcome to another episode of Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. I am Brian and he is Ben.
I am Ben.
What's up, Ben?
What's up? I am just searching the internet to find presents to buy for my wife, Megan. Her birthday's coming up soon when you hear this, hopefully, if I've edited in time.
Oh.
Oh, also my sister's birthday is soon, but whatever.
But after your wives,
like 3 days after.
Okay, so yeah, I would just really spend all of your time and effort focusing on Megan's birthday, and then like after it passes, you should probably take a day off to relax, and then you can spend 2 days figuring out what you're gonna do for your sister.
Or I'll buy two of everything and just give each of them one.
I feel like they would talk to each other and figure out that that's what you did.
That's a good point. They'll probably see their pictures on Instagram or Facebook.
That's true. Everybody's always gramming photos of
their grandma
they got, right? So I don't know what the kids are up to, Ben.
I am bad at Instagram because I don't take pictures, really. Well, I do, and I usually send them to you, and that's it.
And I appreciate it.
And that's all of my – you are my Instagram. You're my instant grandma, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Did we do a segment about Instagrandma?
We at least joked about it.
Okay.
Well, that's what you are to me.
I'm an Instagrandma?
Yeah. Like, you know how you have, like, instant potatoes? You just add water and you have mashed potatoes?
Mm-hmm. That's so you just, like, throw water on me and I become a grandmother?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh. That's good. I didn't know. Didn't know I was capable of that, but it's good to know. I've got the potential to be many things.
You do, especially a grandma.
I mean, sure, yeah, I'm predisposed to being a grandmother, but I could also be, you know, I don't know, maybe a rocket scientist. Maybe we have to just find the right liquid to throw on me. Maybe orange juice makes me a scientist.
How about gasoline?
Whiskey. I don't want you. Okay, sure, whiskey. That's, I mean, they're pretty much the same.
I think that
whiskey
would
and gasoline.
I think whiskey would make you more of like a bar fly. Like, you become a norm if you do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with being a norm. Norm is the new norm.
When you walk in, when you walk into your haunting place, is that what it's called? Where you saddle up your bags, whatever it's called? Do people yell out, Brian?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Old stomping grounds. Right. That's the word.
Yep. Your haunted place.
With the saddlebags.
Yeah.
Oh. Spooky ranch.
Yep. Well, I mean, now you're just reminding me of my pitch for a mini series of supernatural themed Cheers episodes that I think Netflix should do.
All Halloween or like supernatural mashup? Like Santa show up at the Cheers bar.
No, nothing to do with supernatural. It's you know, just like, you know, Cliff becomes a werewolf, you know, that kind of stuff.
I was thinking
Sam's dating a ghost.
That's better then. Like if Sam and Dean showed up, they'd have to like banish the ghost of Coach or something, and that'd be sad.
That would be sad. I don't think they would do that.
He's probably a friendly ghost anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you would think he'd be friendly, but maybe that's the twist, is that Coach is a very malicious ghost.
He was a murderer the whole time. He is the Boston Strangler.
Yep, that was going to be the payoff at the end of season 5, but he died before they could do it.
Well, they caught him, so they had him executed.
Whew. let's. I was frantically looking around for a way to get out of that one, and there's no easy way out, so let's just move ahead to happy hour. It's happy hour again. Welcome to happy hour, the part of the show where we share with you the thing that is making us most happy this week. Ben.
Yes.
What's your happy hour? What's, you seem kind of chipper today.
Well, I'm very wood chipper today. You may have heard me tease this last episode very briefly, and I have no idea what it is because I barely know what it is. But my happy hour is the Loebner transcripts.
I remember you teasing that, and I have no idea what it is.
All right, well, first, there's something called the Loebner Prize, which I had never heard of until I accidentally did. Pretty much, All right, do you know what the Turing test is?
Yes, I am familiar with the Turing test.
The thing where you try to see if an AI computer can pass as a human in text chat. Well, the Loebner Prize is the prize given away every year to whoever does the best at making an AI that can pass a Turing test.
Okay, that's cool. How long has this been going on for?
It looks like since at least 92 they've been doing this.
Wow.
No, 91 maybe actually. And they have online, you can find a lot of the transcripts between what people have said to the computers and what the computers said back. And oh man, some of them are really, really bad.
Ah, do you have some highlights?
I will try to find them. I had the tab, but it might have been gone. I know in the early years, they just had a straight-up conversation. So, like, a judge will talk to a real person and talk to a computer and have just, like, off-the-cuff talk. And it was really, really easy. Now they ask the same set of questions to both a human and a computer to see which one or if both can fool them. And so one recently did pretty well. It didn't quite pass it because not all of the answers were perfect, but it passed it. It passed it pretty well. All right, so I have a couple of them here. Brian, I sent you the questions they asked, and we will see if you read off a few of the questions. We will see if you can tell whether or not I am a robot or a human.
You're what? What? Have you been a robot this whole time?
I don't know. You'll have to see if I pass the Turing test.
Okay, so I just ask the questions under judge?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Andrew. What's yours?
Your name is Andrew. My name is Millie. My name's not Millie. That's what the thing said.
And my name is also Andrew. What's up?
Just chatting on here.
What's my name?
Your name is Andrew, is it not?
What do you know about the Turing test?
The Turing test is the name given to a variety of experiments designed to test whether computers can think.
What do you get if you multiply 6 by 9?
54.
Dave drove faster than Mike because he was in a rush. Who was in a rush?
He sounds like a fun person to know. I will learn that Dave was rushing. Dave.
I feel like you're like either a computer or like somebody that got kicked in the head by a horse, maybe?
Maybe the computer was kicked in the head by a horse.
Oh, see, I didn't even consider that. Let's see, next up. The cat tried to climb into the box but got stuck because it was too big. What was too big?
Well, at least they tried their best. Large, above average in size or number or quantity or magnitude or extent.
What does Brexit mean?
Britain's exit from the EU.
Okay. So the fact that that last question was pretty topical, is this recent? Because I was under the impression this was like 1993.
Oh no, this is one of the latest ones.
Okay. Oh wow. All right. Great. Let's see. Next question is, for how long have we been talking?
Probably about 15 minutes or so. Sorry, I don't know the exact time.
What color is bread?
I would say a bread was white or brown.
A bread.
A bread.
Why do people get ulcers?
We are all living just one small part of God's plan. That's why.
Robot's getting a little preachy. Okay. what comes after the best laid plans?
The successor to the best laid plans. That was a smart aleck answer for the robot.
Yeah, it's a sassy robot. A sassy religious robot. I'm surprised. Do you have a voice?
Not yet. It's one of my future developments, though. Way to go, robot. Stupid robot.
Could be a person. Could be a person. Would you like a cup of tea?
No, thanks. I would rather drink oil. He's very giving it away now.
Yeah. Do you dream of electric sheep?
I dream of flying.
Do you identify as a man or a woman?
Female. Are you a man or a woman?
Could you repeat that, please?
Your polite style is very nice. I said, are you a man or a woman?
Where are you right now?
At this moment, I am sat in a room in the heart of Bletchley Park with three other people all typing away on their computers.
How do you respond to E4, E5?
I don't know what that means. I take on board people's messages and then react accordingly. He's really bad at hiding that he's a robot.
Not even trying. Or maybe, could it be a person that's trying to throw you off the scent because people can lie and robots can't?
Oh, maybe.
What can you tell me about yourself?
My name is Millie, and I am a human volunteer for the Loebner Prize. I live in Leeds and am single. I am interested in AI, but don't have a chatbot myself. And that thing scored 90 out of 100, by the way.
No.
But do you want to hear what the one of the worst ones, how they did?
Yes, yes.
This one got 37.5. There are three that got zero that are not listed. You can't read their stuff. So now I have the worst one that got 37.5.
Do I read the same list of questions?
Yeah, they asked the same one to all of them, so it's like a good scientific experiment.
I just didn't know if it was from the same year. Okay, so it was the same year?
Same year, same questions. That was who won last time. This is one of the last ones. No, there were three that tied for zero. This is the first one that had a score that wasn't zero.
Okay, here we go. My name is Andrew. What's yours?
You know, I don't pose as visual senses. Then why you are getting ahead of yourself?
What's up?
I am fine.
What's my name?
I am fine.
What do you know about the Turing test?
Chatting, silly.
What do you get if you multiply 6 by 9?
I obliged.
Ooh, no, this one can't even do math. Like no. It's not even as good as like a Texas Instruments calculator.
I know.
Dave drove faster than Mike because he was in a rush. Who was in a rush?
I am fine.
The cat tried to climb into the box but got stuck because it was too big. What was too big?
Riddling me all the way around. Do you know that I lack visual perception in order to assess that?
What does Brexit mean?
Am Kuhu.
How long have we been talking?
I am fine.
What color is bread?
You know, I don't pose as visual senses. Then why are you getting ahead of yourself?
Why do people get ulcers?
Quite well.
What comes after the best laid plans?
Am Kuhu.
Do you have a voice?
Not sure. Haven't experienced doing that.
Would you like a cup of tea?
No, am shy.
Do you dream of electric sheep?
Not sure. Haven't experienced doing that.
Do you identify as a man or a woman?
Not sure. Haven't experienced doing that.
Could you repeat that, please?
Am feeling some memory upsurge and CPU downtime because of low system requirements.
Oh, man. I couldn't even repeat the phrase.
And he just repeated it twice.
I know. It's like his favorite thing to say. Where are you right now?
I am having a textual conversation.
How do you respond to E4, E5?
Quite well.
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah, I respond to it well. Can you tell me about yourself?
I am having a textual conversation. The end. So that one did not do well.
That one, I feel like we could have almost fared better if I had like a magic eight ball and just shook it and read what came up.
Pretty much. And there's another one where the next one up says, my name is Andrew. What's yours? What is your name? What's up? Where do you live? What's my name? I don't know. Just asking questions back. Do you dream of electric sheep? Who is?
No, do you? I know you are, but what am I?
I don't know. This whole thing, the good one at least got a lot of them right and did pretty well until they said they'd drink oil.
Yeah. That was weird.
But yeah, there are a whole bunch of these online. Loebner Prize, Loebner. If you want to read them, you can find a whole bunch of those and read how robots react to humans. And a lot of the bad ones are pretty funny. Am Kuhu.
Am Kuhu.
I think Kuhu was that robot's name.
Okay. That was interesting. I enjoyed that. I've been entertained and educated. Thank you, Ben.
That's what this is for. We are educational podcast, after all.
But only for adults.
Oh, only for adults, yes. Mm-hmm. So what have you been happy about?
I, sir, thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Ooh. I should have really written down what my happy hour was.
You already forgot.
Yeah, no, I had something, and it was pretty good.
Robots pretending to be humans?
No. No, that would have been good, though. Oh, Medieval Times. Okay,
oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
I looked up and saw the picture of us at Medieval Times. Like, oh, yeah, that was it.
Is that how you thought of it earlier? You just looked around the room?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That I straight up usual suspected it.
Spoiler alert.
That's where my bumper patrol came from, too. This entire podcast is me just looking around my room like, man, you know what I really liked was Portal 2. Hell of a game.
Oh, that game is fun.
Okay. My happy hour pick is last year, or not even last year, year before last, when you guys came through town, we went to a Medieval Times restaurant.
Oh, I've been there before. With you.
Yeah, I know. That was the one time we were both there.
That's the only time I've ever been there. It was fun.
It was a good time. I enjoyed it. It was me and you and Megan and Caitlin. And,
you mean the new today?
Yeah. I'm sorry, the new today. And also, does Megan have a podcast name?
Mrs. Panther? I don't know. Megan.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, no, it was cool because, you know, we all know what it is. You go there and you... You watch a joust tournament? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's basically Game of Thrones.
Is it basically Game of Thrones?
It's basically Game of Thrones.
With less nudity?
No, with more nudity and more violence.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Yeah. It's, yeah, the things that happen at Medieval Times, HBO wishes they could show it on Game of Thrones.
But they can't. I don't even know how kids are allowed to watch it.
Game of Thrones?
No, Medieval Times.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think kids should watch Game of Thrones, Ben. That seems like a bad idea.
There were a lot of kids there.
There were a lot of kids there. But yeah, it was cool. We had great seats. We were in the Blue Knight section, so we were cheering on the Blue Knight.
He did not win.
No, but he fought the hardest. He had the most heart.
He
and
did.
And that's what really matters. And am I remembering this correctly? Did he give someone a flower? Did that happen?
I feel like he did that or... threw a flower, something. I feel like he might have. Someone in the blue section.
Did he wink at me and then point and say, "You're the man, dog," or was that a daydream?
No, he did that, and then he blew you a kiss, and then you jumped over the balcony and rode on his horse with him.
Oh, wow. Okay. I can't believe I forgot that. That seems like I should have... Oh, man. But yeah, no, it was fun. You know, I don't really have a lot to say about it. The food was okay. The jousting was interesting. It was a fun time. I've been meaning to go for many years, and yeah, I was glad that we got to do that.
It was weird not using silverware.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it sounds worse than it is because they don't give you silverware, and then they also design the meal around the fact that you don't have it. So it's not like you're just eating like a fistful of mashed potatoes.
I love that Western movie.
It's all like oh.
Hello?
Hey.
Oh. You stopped.
I did. Sorry. You were talking. I had a little lag on my end.
Oh, that must have been what it was.
But, yeah, no fistfuls of mashed potatoes. It's all like, drink this tomato soup and eat this roll. And corn on the cob, I think, was part of it, maybe.
So. And something with chicken?
Yeah, a chicken leg. So... it's fine. Yeah, they say you have to eat with your hands, but they let you drink the soup out of a bowl, so.
That's hard to do, though.
Drinking soup out of a bowl?
It, like, spills it all over your face.
I mean, you could have gone in by hand, big handful of soup.
Didn't they have, like, wooden spoons or something back then?
I don't know. No, actually, the spoon wasn't even invented until 1972.
Oh, wow. I hadn't even heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
is that what the song
remember,
Spoon Dance about?
That was actually. Yes, it is. And also, there was that subplot in the last season of Mad Men where Don Draper had to come up with an advertising campaign for the spoon just to get the word out.
And what was it he came up with?
they're like forks, but round.
Oh, he had forks, but not spoons.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Forks have been around forever.
Okay, you think spoons would be not that hard to do.
No, forks are naturally occurring in nature.
Okay, like on fork trees? Is that what they mean by fork in the road? That's where they grow?
Yeah, like that's where forks come from. They just, you know, they naturally occur in roads.
I'm glad we're educational.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, me too.
So do you remember if any like horses dropped their weight a little bit during the jousting? I can't remember.
I don't specifically remember it, but I'm sure that had to have happened, right?
It probably did. I just can't remember if it did, and I can't remember if I smelled it or not. It just feels like I probably did.
I mean, I definitely don't remember that happening while we were eating, because that would have probably stuck with me. But
and didn't we get, like, novelty cups?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got one. It's I don't know. It's a goblet? Mine's like a goblet, I guess?
I feel like we got one that was, like, a golden knight head, and I think Caitlin dropped part of hers.
Oh, man. I remember that. We were walking out, and, it got broken.
That
and
whole
some kid said party foul.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was annoying.
That was super annoying.
That whole trip was all about novelty cups, because I know Caitlin, Megan, and I also went to the Six Flags in Atlanta, where we got, I think, a Slurpee or an Icy or something, and a giant boot cup.
Oh, yeah, the boot. Yeah,
the
I remember
giant
the boot
clear
cup.
Boot. And when we all went to Dave & Buster's, we got a giant flask.
Oh, yeah, I've got the giant flask. I'm looking at it right now.
So that was all about weird cups, was that vacation?
Yep, that was the theme of the trip, novelty cups.
It was awesome, though.
Yeah, I can't believe, actually, none of the stuff we did on that trip ever made it into a podcast, did
it? It did not. Oh, I think we also drank out of blood bags at Halloween Horror Nights.
Did that happen?
I feel like there's a drink in a blood bag. I know at least Megan got one.
Oh, okay, probably. Yeah, some kind of drink in a blood bag.
It wasn't actual blood.
What was it, like fruit punch?
I don't remember. I think Megan got it. I think it had like a little bit of alcoholic stuff in it because it was nighttime. So,
okay,
I don't know.
Sure, yes, okay.
That's how it works.
When the sun goes down, it's time for a little bit of alcohol. Oh. Everybody knows that old adage.
And what about that Flamin' Moe you got, or I got? One of us got a Flamin' Moe. You got a Duff beer, I think.
I did. Actually, I did. I got a Duff beer, and you got the Flaming Moe. Although, the Flaming Moe had no alcohol or cough syrup in it. So
neither one.
It's not very, not really faithful to the show.
But it did steam and look orange.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. I mean, did you keep that cup as well? Is that another novelty cup you have?
I feel like I have it.
The Flaming Moe?
I feel like I have the Flaming Moe cup. We had a lot of novelty cups.
Yeah,
I've changed your happy hour from medieval times to novelty cups.
To novelty cups? Yeah, novelty cups are great.
We have one from a zoo with an iguana on top of it. It wasn't related to that trip, but
you should post some photos on the blog of your novelty cup collection.
Well, but you have the flask.
For now, you know. Eventually, it'll make its way back to you. It's like
traveling
you know,
pants.
Yeah. It's just the brotherhood of the traveling flask.
Episode title.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not topping that. We should just end the show right now. That's the highlight.
No Bummer Patrol.
Oh, man!
Hey, man, Bummer Patrol. Buh-buh-buh, you're sad. I'm sad. Let's talk about it.
I am sad. about... Anti, what?
He really sold it. That was a hard sell on that.
I'm so sad. Okay, so
how sad are you?
They did do that in one episode of the Match Game that we talked about last episode.
Uh-huh.
They have had one occasion of that, and I was really happy.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought that back.
Anyway, so my Bumper Patrol is anti-spoiler-free zealots. So, a lot of people know that I am. Mostly spoiler-free. I try to avoid a lot of stuff because I'd rather go in knowing as much as I want to and then nothing else. So I can just be surprised by whatever they throw at me. Well, recently I saw a thread online where people were complaining about the spoiler-free culture and started like parodying it. It's like, oh, next thing you know, you're going to be spoiled that you actually like... ride a horse in this game or shoot people in this game. Like, guys,
ooh, spoilers.
That's obviously not what I meant. Like, I did not want to know that there were like 800 whatevers in this game. I wanted to discover that on my own.
What game are you talking about? I feel like you're being specific without being specific.
Well, this is the thread I read it in was for the new Zelda game. It talked about like the number of dungeons, the number of puzzles, the number of all of that. I don't want to know because I'll get partway through and I'll be like, oh, well, I only have this many left to do. And it helps make it too obvious. I don't know. It bothers me. But then they were getting mad that people care about this and that about shows. And then that spoiler-free has gone too far. You can't write in the title that so-and-so is in some episode. But you can't write that because someone's not caught up. What if you... this happened to me all because of Lost. One time in Lost, when I decided to be spoiler-free, I watched a preview for an episode. And in the episode, you see a character say something. Mm-hmm. Or in the preview for it. In the actual episode, at one point, it appears as if that character dies. But I remember the trailer, and I was like, well, they're not dead because they haven't said this line yet. And then guess what? They revealed that they're not dead later on in the episode.
Yeah, no, yeah, I remember this.
That's why, like, I don't want to know that someone is in, like, season 6 of Game of Thrones, because that means I know for the next 5 seasons they're not going to die, even if they appear to die or be in, like, peril several times.
Maybe they come back as a ghost.
It makes me mad. The people who are mad about... It doesn't hurt anybody to be spoiler-free. And, okay, you know the whole thing... All right, the people who are anti-spoiler-free try to point out this one study that was done that says that the majority of people actually prefer to be spoiled than to be spoiler-free. But I think that study is flawed because I don't think it took into account how badly someone wants one or the other. I think a lot more people are just okay with being spoiled and less so, I have to be spoiled. Whereas spoiler-free are like, please do not spoil me, and are less nonchalant about it. So if you make it more of a sliding scale, I bet the average would be more towards the spoiler-free side.
I think we need to conduct our own study now.
We should. Everyone, write in happycastfeedback@gmail.com and let us know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you want to be spoiled? At 1 being not spoiled at all, and 10 being extremely spoiled.
See, I used to have a very strong anti-spoiler across-the-board preference, but now it's kind of more case-by-case. If it's something I'm really into, then I'll try to avoid stuff like, the new season of Better Call Saul starts next month. I've been trying to avoid as much of that as I can. But I don't know. There are certain things that I'm only kind of like halfway interested in, so... I'll kind of, follow along like, oh, they brought back that character. I should probably catch up, I guess.
Yeah, that's some of what I've been doing. Like, I actually only ended up watching Game of Thrones when a coworker at work described to me like a whole storyline of one episode. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. I'll check this out. So even though it was a character death, I still watched it. And I was like, oh, I didn't like the show that much at first. But then the more I watched it, the more it grew on me. And now I like it.
Do you love it? Or do you like it?
I at least really like it where I am right now. I think there's some flaws that I wish could be different, but they can't really change it because of different reasons. But
so what season does it get really good? 3?
Well, see, part of my problem is with both fantasy and sci-fi stuff. This is well-worn territory in the old podcast. I don't like them that much because I have a hard time getting into it in the first place because I have no basis of knowledge of the world or the history or what's going on. But when I played Mass Effect the first time, hated it all the way through. Second time, I liked it a lot because suddenly I knew why people were doing things and I knew what stuff meant and what the history of the place was. Game of Thrones also had no idea who anyone was. Stuff just kept happening. By season 2 or 3, I started understanding why people were doing things. I knew some of the history of the world. They really cut down on the whole nudity as exposition thing, and now it's usually nudity where it makes sense to have nudity, which they went way overboard with in the first season with that. But so I think it got a lot better. Anyway, yeah, I also do the case-by-case thing. Like for a Star Wars movie, I will watch the first trailer, and I'll see if that's enough for me to be really excited. And if not, I'll watch the next one. And then until I'm excited enough that I don't want to see anymore. That's how I've been doing it.
That seems fair.
I have not watched the Fast and the Furious trailer yet because I am already super excited for it. I don't want to know the big crazy stunts they're going to do.
You haven't seen the new trailer, but it's so bad.
All I want to know is if if one of the old villains is coming back. I'm just curious.
Which one?
Jason Statham.
Do you want me to tell you?
You can tell me that, yeah.
Yes, he's in the movie.
Then I am excited. I do not need to see any more. Because, all right, the last trailer for the last movie, I got spoiled that a car was going to drive from one building into another building, skyscraper style.
But it was still incredible when it happened.
But if you hadn't known that and just watched the movie and you're like, what are they going to do? How are they going to get out? And he just drives out the window of the skyscraper, you would be way more surprised. And you'd be like just jumping up and down, stomping on the ground, cursing excitedly in the theater.
All in the movie theater, too.
Exactly. That's what you would do. Yep. It'd be exciting.
All right. I think you've made a good case. Okay. What about, if I may, is there a statute of limitations on spoiler stuff? Like, you know, I feel like that's where you get into weird territories where, you know, I feel like I can't tweet something like, you know, I'll tweet a reference to the season 8 finale of Cheers where Sam gets the bar back and then like some stranger's like, oh man, you spoiled it. I was only on season 4 of Cheers. Like, you had your chance. I'm sorry. I'm not going to hold back.
Yeah, it partly depends on, like, if it's on Twitter, I think that kind of spoiler wouldn't even be much of a spoiler. And other than that, I would say it's okay to spoil things that are so well known it doesn't matter. Like the whole Darth Vader thing, or that, like, dead the whole time, or that Jaws is a shark, anything like that.
I remember when you got to the end of Jaws and found out he was a shark the whole time?
You don't know for a long time. They only show you part of him. It could be a guy with a fin on his back, for all you know.
That's true. That's true.
You don't see him to the very end, so you don't know what it is. So that's a good spoiler.
Okay. What about, like, every day of my life, I want to tweet about how much I love the season 4 finale of Breaking Bad. Can I do that? Is that okay?
Vaguely, which one is that?
That's the end of the Gus story arc.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think about that all the time. If you think the majority of your people on your timeline who you care if you spoil or not have seen it, or you won't ever watch it, then go for it. Like, there's some things I have to be really careful. Like, there's some stuff I wanted to Facebook post or tweet or something that I have now cut up on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But I won't yet because Megan is still on the final season. And I'm afraid if I post, someone will comment some kind of spoiler and then she'll see it.
Okay.
But after she's seen it, I think most of the people in my feed either are cut up or don't care. So I won't mind posting it then. Just, is it so hard to think about other people? What's wrong with America today?
That's a real left turn we took there. But
I'm just trying to be an old man, cranky at the world.
So, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, just, you know, use your best discretion, case to case.
Yeah, so anti-spoiler-free zealots. You know what? It's not hard to not tell people stuff. Just let them do what they want to do, and you talk about your spoilers on your own time with someone who cares. The end.
It's a little harsh, but okay, all right.
It made me really mad when I saw that thread.
And were you even participating in the thread, or you were just like a observer?
I was scrolling through it, because people were arguing whether or not the title was a spoiler, and some were saying, no, it's definitely not, and other ones were saying, I did not want to know this. And something that someone did not want to know, it's a spoiler for them. They're like, well, you shouldn't be on a video game message board then. Well, the game's not going to come out for like another year. I thought it would be safe to be on here about this game. Like, I didn't go on the Resident Evil 7 message board until I beat it. Because that's how you do it. But on a generic video game one, you don't expect spoilers.
Did you already beat it?
Resident Evil 7? Yep, I played it a few hours for a few nights in a row.
That's fast.
Well, it took me like, I think 10 hours for the first playthrough.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. So my Bummer Patrol is during our downtime, I was a guest on the 200th episode of the Ingenuity Podcast.
Oh, really? Why is that your... Wait. Oh, we're in happy hour.
I was like, are we in happy hour?
Wait, was that your Bummer Patrol?
That's my Bummer Patrol, yeah.
Why?
Well, let me tell you. I was invited to be on the show for their 200th episode. Big fan of the show. Great guys.
It is. They are.
And Ben was also invited, but, you know, scheduling fell through. We couldn't get a time when we were all available, so I went solo. And we're talking about holidays, and, you know, they're cracking jokes. I'm having a good time. And then after, like, 12, 15 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm not really getting much response over here. What's going on? And then after a while, they're like, Brian, what happened to Brian? Is Brian still there? And then that's when I realized my headset had a short in it. So,
no.
I thought they were just ignoring me because there was an actual point in the conversation where Mr. Pold says, like, oh, man, Lawrence Fishburne. Did you guys know he was on Pee-wee's Playhouse? I said, oh, yeah, he played Cowboy Curtis. Of course. Yeah, of course. We all know that. And then, but they didn't know that. And they're like, oh, what? Really? Weird. Let's look this up. I'm like, it's Cowboy Curtis. Guys, it's Cowboy Curtis. And I'm like, oh, man. I feel like, why aren't you listening to me? Oh, my God. What's happening? And that's when I figured it out.
It was like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yep. Or Black Mirror. Let's
call it because it's through technology. You're talking to everybody on your headset, but nobody can hear you.
Oh, man. I can only hear them, but they can't hear me. I'm not a big Black Mirror fan, but I like that Christmas episode with John Hamm in it. I thought that was really good.
I think some of them are good, and some of them are a little messed up.
A little hit and miss. But, and then I never got that sorted out, so I just kind of dropped out of that episode after a while. But it was fun until that happened, and... as you can tell, my headset works now, so I hope I get another chance to go back sometime. But
Brian,
that was.
Are you still there?
That was a bummer. Well, oh, no.
I've been talking
not
to myself
again.
For like 30 minutes. Why haven't you talked yet?
Why does this keep happening to me?
I've been leaving gaps so you can talk, but oh well.
You were leaving gaps and then like answering questions you thought I might have asked.
It's what I do even when we're not recording. I just assume what you'd probably say in conversation, and then I respond to it.
I mean, I'm pretty predictable, so you could probably do that.
I like macaroni and cheese too, Brian.
True. Don't we all? Don't we all? So, that concludes Bumper Patrol. Let's move forward to our next segment, Minute Work. Yes. It's every favorite one-time podcast segment. Two times? How many times have we done this?
Oh, your headset's working again. I don't know. Maybe I think just one or two times. Not very often.
At least one time before, and now it's back. You know, I don't know. We just talk about like career stuff, work stuff. So last we spoke, Ben, I believe you had a new profession.
Not on the podcast, but last we spoke, to each other, I did. Yes. Well, on the vacation in October 2015. We played a lot of escape rooms. If you're not familiar with that is, you pay some people, you go into some sort of themed room for an hour with some people, and you have to like solve puzzles, find keys, unlock locks to solve some sort of mystery by the end or achieve some sort of goal. The plan, it was actually not even like planned to do any of these. We were in Orlando, we had a little bit of extra time, and I found out one existed nearby, so we went to one. I thought it was crazy because there was a secret room in our first one. It was like some kind of like uncovering a terrorist network or something, I think it was. And it started off in like a marketplace. And you go into a jail cell, you open up a big chest. And inside that chest, there's a vent you crawl through into a second room, which blew my mind. And from there, you can open up a bookcase back to the first room. And, well, we kept playing them. We played about, I think, 11 or 12 throughout the rest of that vacation. And I got back home and found out there were some nearby. There were a couple that were open about an hour north of me where I went to college. So I emailed them, told them what I'd done, asked if they were hiring. One of them was. I became a supervisor to some of the workers there. Basically one of the two managers they had. Worked there for like a few months. And then one opened up in Fort Smith, which is way closer to me. And going back and forth an hour each direction was destroying our car. And I got at least one, maybe two flat tires. One time I got a flat tire as soon as I left the city. I had like just passed the last gas station on the interstate. So I had to drive with a spare for like about 45 minutes south. That was not fun. Anyway, so I ended up testing out the one in Fort Smith. They opened up a special day for me to try it out. That's where I live. Sorry, spoiler alert. Everyone knows where I live now. As if most of you weren't already friends with me on Facebook. And I played with my sister and Megan. We made the leaderboard on one of them. As I left, the one who was the manager there gave me a piece of paper with the contact info of one of the owners. They wanted me to send in a resume or call and talk to them for a while. I did not right away. We went to go get some pizza instead. On the way home, one of the owners just called me on the phone and started talking to me and basically offered me a job and asked how much I was expecting to be paid and everything. I just wanted to eat my pizza. It was getting cold in the car. And now I'm a manager at an escape room and have been for a little over a year.
Wow, over a year already.
Yeah.
So, what goes into managing an escape room? Do you have subordinates? How many subordinates do you have?
We have subordinates on and off. We have up to two at a time. There are two managers, which we manage things. We also have to do work, though. And unlike some managers. Mm-hmm. But we get to delegate to the lower people on the ladder, which I don't know what they're called. They're just not managers, I guess. We get to tell them to go wash the wall next to the toilet. Go reset that room. Stuff like that. Mostly the two managers have keys, so we open and close.
Okay.
And we get to decide things. We get to make – we have, discretion on whether or not we want to give someone a discount.
Ooh.
Depends on if the group is cool.
If I came out, could I get a discount?
If you came out, you'd probably play for free because I could just open it up on a day we aren't open. That's what I like about being a manager. I can just show up, go inside, and look at our rooms and then leave.
Really? At any time? At
whenever I want. I can go look at the rooms.
Oh, spooky. So you could just wake up at 2 a.m. one day and think, you know what? I want to go make sure the room's still there.
I could if I wanted to. It's cool. We are future business, sort of. We're locally owned by some people who live in town. We clock in. There's an app we use. We just tap the thing, tap clock in. You have to be within range to do it, so you can't just do it from home and cheat.
Nice. Okay, I was wondering how they would get around that.
It's geo-blocked, I guess. And you clock out, same way. It's really cool. We get paid direct deposit, and I get emails every Monday saying, hooray, you just got paid, which is really awesome.
Does it say that in those words?
No, I think it literally does.
Oh, nice. I bet that makes you feel good.
It does. I'm like, oh, cool. So every Monday, I wake up to, some happiness. Yeah, hooray, Ben, you got paid today, is what it says.
Hooray, it's money day.
I have a whole bunch of stories about someone who used to work there who does not anymore because of various things like trying to give his number to a customer one time. Mm-hmm. I talked him out of it.
You had to talk about it?
Yeah. So at the end of a game, if we like the group, we can give them a little discount code that will give them 5 off their next room. And he thought this one girl was hitting on him, but she wasn't. She was just friendly. She shook my hand too, not just his hand.
Wait. She shook his hand and he thought she was hitting on him? Is that?
Yes. I think it was also because she was slightly tipsy, so she was being friendly, but she was talking to both of us a lot. She shook both of our hands. She gave us both a business card for some life coaching thing that she does or something. But he was convinced that she was hitting on him, so he wanted to give his number to her. And I was like, no, I'll change his name. We'll call him Sherman. I was like, Sherman, don't do that. He's like, oh, I was wanting to get – no, Sherman, do not give your number to a customer. And he got mad.
I don't know, man. Let's role play. I'll be Sherman. Ben, I don't know. I think this drunk girl's really into me. She shook my hand. It's crazy. I think I'm going to give her my number, right?
Sherman, do not do that. She shook my hand, too.
Don't. Bro, but you're married, man. You know, whatever, you know?
No.
It's Sherman's time to shine.
I will call HR.
Okay, well,
we don't
can
have
I, if I, okay, I won't give her my number, but can I ask her for her number?
Her number is on the card she gave both of us, not just you.
Oh, is that her personal number? I thought that was like a like an office.
I never called it. If you're a life coach, I assume you don't have an office, and it's probably just your phone.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
she wasn't
no,
like
right.
she wasn't like you
know,
with a huge life coaching business. I think she just got out of college and decided to be a life coach.
And then, okay, I wonder how that's going for her. She had the cards made and everything.
We've never seen her again, so I don't know.
You have the card though. You should call her. Let's get her on the podcast. Let's find out if she was hitting on him.
I bet she wasn't. He no longer works there. That's one of the reasons. One is one day he had not shown up after about an hour. And me and the other manager, Brooke, we were like, where is he? So we called him. He's like, oh, I don't come in today, or I don't come in for another hour today. Like, no, you're on the schedule. We have you down there. Like, well, that's not what I wrote down last time I looked at it. You guys must have changed the schedule.
And then you fired him.
Not yet, because we did not have hiring and firing power at the time.
So you have hiring and fire power now?
Pretty much. Hiring is left up to us, since we're the ones that have to work with them, and the owners never really stop by. They just care if we can work with them.
Okay.
And we could not work with him. Sure.
And you can fire people now.
We can. We don't really need to.
But if you wanted to.
Yes, we can. Oh, he did all sorts of stuff. He would overreact and stomp and clap all the time for no reason. I would be out in the lobby, like, talking to customers while they're waiting for their room, and he would stand next to me with his hands behind his back, standing up as straight as he could, smiling and not saying a word. Like, he was some kind of, like, creepy, I don't know, like, British guard person, except smiling. It was weird. One time, he thought I took the batteries out of his remote control. Because our rooms, we have the TV in each room. And whenever we start a room, we press play on the remote. It starts the TV, which starts the timer. Well, one time he took it in there and it didn't work. And he thought that I had taken the batteries out to trick him or like get him somehow. But then there was one on the floor. I think that just fell open and the back got put back on.
Oh, Ben, you got me. You got me, Ben. You jokester. You're always pulling these pranks at work.
I don't know. And with several times money came up missing, and we were pretty sure it was him because it wasn't me and it wasn't Brooke.
Was it like a large sum of money? Like, we're missing $800.
It would be like 20 at a time. It'd be like, there was 20 less than there was last time we looked.
Ooh, yeah. It does seem like he was probably taking small amounts of money.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's just bad coworkers. We have a whole bunch of stories about that. Yeah, it was crazy. But we also have crazy drunk
people. I wish I had bad coworker stories.
Well, most of the coworkers are good. It's mostly just me, one manager, other manager, and like one or two underlings at a time who we can tell to do stuff. But most of the time, it's just the managers, us running stuff, talking to people. We have some really, really drunk groups go in sometimes. One guy tried to start vaping in a room. We had to go in and stop that.
Of course.
That's actually happened twice. The second time I mentioned no vaping or smoking in the room. And the room they were in was called the Dark Hall. The room is mostly in the dark other than like a black light that you turn on in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And he would keep doing it. And I would look on the camera and see puffs of smoke in the room. And we don't have a smoke machine in there. So eventually I had to go in for a clue, and I walked in, and he like peeked around his friend and hid behind him again and vaped again. And I saw a puff of smoke appear from behind this one guy's head. I'm like, hey, I told you cannot vape in here. I had to take it away from him. And he thought he was somehow going to hide. I don't know. I think he was really drunk too. We had one guy try to get people to take their shirts off in the room.
Wait, what? To solve the room? Like, guys, let's all take our shirts off. And then let's... That'll fix it.
I think he was just drunk and wanted people to be wearing less clothes.
Okay.
That was weird. And we get a lot of birthday parties and old people.
What about old people birthday parties?
We get that too.
Happy 84th birthday, Peepaw.
And Peep. I always told Megan that I want to be called Peepoo, but she didn't like that idea.
No.
I want to be someone's Peepoo.
You can be somebody's Peepoo.
Well, we get... Most old people have been really cool. We get one... or two once a month maybe that only ever complain about everything always. Like one of our 5-star reviews is like, oh, I had a great time. I walked into this small and barely decorated room. and kept going on about that kind of thing, but didn't say how much fun she had and how fun it was, and then goes back to mentioning the small and barely decorated, even though it's not, but whatever. Anyway, I have a whole list of stories of those, so we can fill future Minute Works. I'll remember more Sherman stories sometime.
I would love to hear more Sherman stories.
Which is the name we're going to go by.
Sherman
but definitely
story.
Isn't his real name.
It's a new segment, Sherman Stories.
Oh, no. I'll have to remember more. I'll write them down next time I remember them. So what have you been up to, Brian? What have you been working?
Well, I would like to say I do like that over the however many years we've been doing this, we seemingly at random times just vilify people that we know. So now it's Sherman and Shuffling Kyle, I think, are the two big bads of the podcast right now.
Why is it always me? Why you need to start vilifying people?
Okay, all right. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get a handle of how to vilify people.
Vilify the new today.
I don't know. She's pretty dope. How do you vilify?
Oh, so you're saying she smokes dope?
I don't think that's what I said, but luckily I have been recorded, so I can go back and listen, so we'll see.
Unless I edit it.
That's true. It would be shocking if I went back. It's like, yeah, she smokes dope. It's
oh,
like, I
there
didn't
you go.
Say that.
You just did. Now I can use it.
Oh, except when I just now did.
Anyway.
Oh. Okay. I don't know, work, man. I manage your stuff. Do you write the schedule? Is that part of your thing?
She writes the schedule, and I usually deal with customers.
Do you have to write performance evaluations of your subordinates?
We talk to each other about their performance. The two owners, the two of us managers discuss the performance to them or to each other behind their backs.
Aha!
And then to them later.
So you get to decide, like, what kind of raises people get.
They usually don't, because there's only, like, one other person, and they just started again.
Oh.
The underling has a faster turnover, because a lot of them are in college or doing part-time jobs.
Well, you guys should, just start getting unpaid interns. That's the way to go.
Oh, it's hard to find someone who can be nice to people, but also won't mind cleaning the same room repeatedly the exact same way. And accurately.
Sounds like you need a real Adrian Monk in there.
Oh, God. That would take way too long to reset.
Overnight.
So you now manage meat? Or people who meet?
I manage people who meet. People that meet, I manage them.
How did that happen?
You just hang around, do something long enough, and then people try to give you more money and job titles and stuff, and you just gotta take it. That's how I got here.
That's how it works.
It's not a very interesting or fun story. But
don't you work at a new one now?
A different same company, different location. But it was tough at first. I'm good at it now. I figured it out. The secret to, by the way, anybody out there, the secret to being good at your job is you just tell people how great you are. Like, I'm doing a great job. This is great. And then after a while, they just believe you.
That's true.
Yeah, it is true.
Pretend you know what you're doing long enough, and maybe you eventually will. But everyone will believe it early on.
Yeah, but when I first got the new gig, I was very uncomfortable telling people what to do. That just, I'm like, how about you guys? We all know why we're here. Everybody come in and do the right thing, and then we can all go home, and I won't have to have any awkward conversations with you.
And how has that gone?
I had to get over that.
Let's trade some managerial tips. When you have to have someone do something, practice on me. I am one of your underlings. Tell me to do a job that you need done.
Okay, I would walk up, real slow, meandering like, and then sigh heavily until you look up.
Yes.
And then when you
boss.
Look up, I'm like, "Hey Ben, later on tonight, if you get the chance, could you mop the floors? It just needs to be done. Just if you get the chance, that would be great."
And does that work pretty well?
Yeah, it does for me, actually. Yeah.
That's kind of what I do. I'm like, oh, hey, Dylan, in a second, we're about to have a group come in. Can you go reset that room for me? Since I have to do this thing. That's usually how it ends up going. I have to do something else. So can you do that?
Sure. You make sure they know. It's like, you know, I was going to do that myself, but I have to go sit in my office and eat a bunch of trail mix.
And listen to Hamilton.
And listen to the Hamilton soundtrack. So if you could go do work, that would be so good.
It works pretty well. Because a lot of times I do have to be at the front desk in case someone comes in or we get a phone call or check scheduling. But a lot of times people don't do those things. So I just have to wait in case it happens while they have to go clean.
Aha. Yeah, it's yeah, it's something. I don't know. I'm still not completely comfortable with it, but
Do you get a key? No,
not yet.
Oh.
I don't know if I want the key. I don't want to be opening and closing.
You need to come visit so I can show you my key.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
And you can go in there.
I want to go hang out in an escape room at 2 a.m.
Not at 2 a.m., but I have gone early to work before because one of our rooms has like a couch and a coffee table. So I'll like get my laptop, plug it in, watch some episodes of stuff I have on my computer, and like eat some dinner back there.
Just relax in the escape room?
I do. I will relax back there because I'm so used to how it is now. It's not weird to be in there anymore.
It's like a second home at this point.
Sort of. I almost thought about sleeping there one night. This ought to be a future podcast. We had a bunch of roofers here one day, or for a few days in a row, very loud, and I almost broke down and just went and slept on the couch at work so I wouldn't have to wake up to loud sounds. But that'll be a future.
Yeah, story. I mean, that would have been a fine solution. All right, so I have a quick question for you, and I'll keep it brief because I don't know if it'll be interesting to anyone other than us. But now that you're like a pro escape room insider, you know all the tips and tricks of the industry, which of the escape rooms that we went to would you point at like, oh, that's actually top notch, that's the pinnacle, that's one of the best ones?
Well, one of my favorites was called Breakout Atlanta. That was the one that had the Casino Royale one.
And oh, yeah.
I thought that one was really good. They had good creative puzzles and a fairly good set design. They had some cool props, and everything kind of made sense. They had the art heist room, which was cool, and they had the kidnapping one where you start off handcuffed to like a bed spring mattress or just a bed spring.
Mm-hmm.
That was all cool. My least favorite was one, I don't remember what it's called, but it was in like deep in downtown Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there for that one too?
I don't remember. Describe it.
Well, it was deep downtown and we had to park in some parking lot that seemed kind of sketchy because we didn't know we were allowed to park. And then we had to walk a while and got asked by several people for money. And we went there. The set was really good. It looked like you were in a bar. They had a bar with like the big mirror in the behind it and a bunch of glasses and bottles. They had a big pool table on one side. One wall that looked like a brick wall covered with like old band posters all over it. The room was terrible though. Apparently you could get out within the first few minutes if you happened to solve the right thing first. They said, oh no, this one is meant to be dreamlike, so things won't connect as normally and do anything in any order.
So I hear that as like, it doesn't make sense like you think it should, but it's okay. That's the theme we're going for.
Yes. Like we found out at the end, they told us like they kind of ran us through the rest of it. And I found out that the code was the exact same that was on the clock on the wall. I was like, well, I thought the clock time might have been a code, but I didn't use it on the end door because we hadn't done anything yet. But we could have gotten out in like 5 minutes if we'd done that.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely wasn't there for that one.
That room was terrible.
Now, what about the one I really enjoyed, the one that we went to, where it was me, you, Megan, and Caitlin, and it was like a hotel-themed one, and we were each in separate rooms. Like, we were isolated. Although, I was by myself. I don't know about everybody else. I think maybe you and Megan were in the same room.
Yeah, that one is three rooms. We all, like, Megan and I were in the middle room. You were in one room. Caitlin's in the other room. And the problem was we had to, like, pass information along from, like, your room to Caitlin's room using these old-timey telephones that didn't really work too well. And mine had, like, something wrong with the cord, so the communication didn't go through right. So I could only hear half of what you said. And I have to tell Megan to tell Caitlin. And it was extremely hard because, like, we couldn't do anything in our room, really. Except just pass stuff along.
Pass information?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I don't thrive when I'm working by myself. So I'm curious if there's any security cam footage of that, because at a certain point I just get really discouraged and just like sit on the floor, but I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that one did not go well. The other one at that place went better. The one that's like the study of someone or other.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was cool. I liked that one.
That one was cool. Had like a couple secret passages.
Yeah, escape rooms.
That were neat.
Neat.
One of my favorites is actually in Fort Worth, Texas. It was a Cthulhu-themed room. It had like, I think, two secret areas. It had a lot of puzzles. I didn't like the flow of puzzles that much, but the actual puzzles are pretty solid. One big wall in there was like a big screen TV covered in like wood paneling to make it look like it was a window in the wall, and the video on it was like a stormy sea on the like in a cliffy beach area, and as time went on it would get stormier and stormier, and like Cthulhu would start getting closer and closer.
That sounds fun.
That one was really neat. That's one of my favorites.
So it seems to me that like when you're designing an escape room, you always have to have that wow moment where it's like roughly halfway through, you have to solve something, and then there's a secret door, or like the room expands, or there's a black light. Although, at this point, having done enough of these, is the black light like a trope? Like,
yes.
It's like, oh, and then we use the black light.
Yeah, we try to stay away from most black light stuff if we can, because everybody does the black light. It's a lazy way to do like revealing things now. But our place is not big enough to have secret rooms, but we do have like secret doors pop open on like cabinets and things like that. So we do a lot of that now.
That's still good.
And two other places are open in town, which is a whole other story about the sort of rivalry, but also like cooperation. The other one in town is terrible, is what I'm saying.
Oh, throwing mad shade over here.
And that's coming from an enthusiast perspective, not a worker at the one I work at perspective. If you're ever in town, come by. I'll let you play for free or something.
Are you talking to me or anyone listening to the podcast?
Anybody listening.
Ooh, all right.
Which is like 8 people, most of whom have already played.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe listener Ann will fly in from the Philippines. That seems like it's worth the trip.
I'll make her pay for it.
What? Even if she flies in from the Philippines?
Pay $0.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, I got her too.
Well, I'm glad you're. Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying your new management gig.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, and it's not like full time. It's enough. It's days, like it's like 3 days a week plus any extra days when we have team building or like big birthday parties coming in. So I still get to do nothing like record podcasts and then edit them. I have time for that still.
Woohoo! And I am very grateful for that. All right. I think that does it. That for Minute Work. No feedback this week because, let's peek behind the curtain, we recorded this podcast like 15 minutes after we recorded the first one.
Oh, I do have an email from March 2016.
Oh, okay. What does the email say?
It's from Matthew E. Lau. The subject is help in all caps, and there is nothing else in it. That's it.
That's it? It just says help?
That's it.
Oh,
we did not help him out.
That's unsettling. I wish I could have helped you. Next time, be more specific.
From March 4th, we got a Google Plus notification. Didn't know we were on Google Plus. Of an Ingenuity Show episode that came out, episode 158. And
nice.
Trent Armstrong joined some Dallas After Effects user group or something.
Oh, T-Dog. Congratulations.
Yeah, and our Google Voice number has expired or something.
So remember, if you want to contact the show, the only way now is happycastfeedback@gmail.com.
Do not call 77-HAPPY-NUNE.
For Happy Nun.
I do not know who that goes to.
That's true. Whoever it is, I'm sure they don't want to hear voicemails from strangers talking about what makes them happy and what bums them out.
Or maybe you should. Send them lots of voicemails like that.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny, actually.
We got some for exterminators.
Yeah, so Yeah, it's fair play. All right. Well, I guess that concludes this here podcast, Ben. How are we looking on time? Did we hit the 1 hour mark?
Just a tiny bit over it.
All right. We're this new season of the Happy Cast, we decided no more 4 hour long podcast.
We're gonna release 4 1-hour podcasts a week.
Yep. That's exactly what we're gonna do.
I don't think I have nearly enough things to be happy about.
Oh, I definitely don't. Like, by, like, day 3, I would be spent.
I'm already out of my list I had. I had a list of 2.
Yep. I see. I didn't even have a list. I had one really solid one, and then going into episode 2, it was, like, 10 minutes of me frantically trying to think of a thing.
It worked, though.
That's true. And I'm still enjoying it, but thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ben, for taking the time to record.
And thank you, Brian, for joining me.
Oh, thank you. People never thank me. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, until next time.
Oh.
I don't know how we end it. Ooh, all right. Still filling it out. So, thank you guys for joining us. And until next time, remember,
stay happy.